Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle John includes in his Gospel many special descriptions of Jesus, usually beginning with an I am statement, though not in every case. In St. John's Gospel, we learn that Jesus is the Word of God, who was with God in the beginning and who was God. He is the bread of heaven that comes down from heaven. He is the light of the world. He is the door of the sheep. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the vine, and we are the branches. It's also the Apostle John who records the words of John the Baptist, who cried out about Jesus, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How is Jesus like a lamb? We learned that especially during Holy Week, especially on Good Friday, as we heard again the gospel of how Jesus died on the cross, was led like a lamb to the slaughter, became the sacrificial lamb, the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the world. But in another sense, Jesus is not like a lamb at all, because when a lamb is slaughtered, it has no say in the matter. A lamb doesn't choose to be slaughtered. It doesn't lay down its life for anyone. Its life is taken from it by others. It's an involuntary victim. Not so with Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus pictures believers in him as sheep and himself as shepherd. "I am the good shepherd," he famously says. He is the good shepherd who voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep and who also took up his life again in order to keep caring for his sheep for all eternity. "I am the good shepherd," says the Lord. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He calls himself good in contrast with the bad. The bad shepherd, the hireling, as it's called in our text, is not the owner of the sheep. He's just working for a little money as a shepherd. He doesn't care about the sheep. He just cares about getting his wages. He's a hired hand who's out there in the field tending the sheep because it's a way to make money. And he stays with the sheep as long as it's convenient for him, as long as it's not too much trouble. But if danger comes, he's looking out for himself. He sees the wolf coming and abandons the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Who is the hireling? He's really every shepherd or pastor who looks out for his own best interests ahead of the safety and security of the flock entrusted to his care. And there have been many, many of those over the millennia. But Jesus is not like them. The sheep are his. They belong to him, and he does care about them. Who is the wolf? He is the devil. And he has power over people because of sin. Power to accuse them before God. Power to hold their guilt over them. Power to drag them to hell. And no one could be free from his power because no one is without sin. As Scripture says, no one is righteous. No, not one. And Isaiah wrote, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way." You remember when we last heard those words from Isaiah, don't you? We heard them on Good Friday in Isaiah chapter 53. Why? Because as Isaiah's prophecy continues, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, has laid on Christ, our good shepherd, the iniquity of us all. Now tie those words to Jesus' words. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, willingly, intentionally, voluntarily. In fact, he came to earth in the first place for the very purpose of confronting the wolf and laying down his life so that the sheep might be saved. He laid down his life in every way by living his life not for himself, but for us, and by giving his life on the cross. The Son of God took on our human flesh and lived among us as both God and man. He devoted his life to serving us by preaching the truth about us as sinners, the truth about him as the one who freely forgives sins to all who trust in him. He laid down his life as the atoning price for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the world. You should picture your good shepherd bleeding and dying on a cross. That's what it means to see the wolf coming and to stand his ground for the sake of the sheep so that he might be attacked and killed in their place. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Of course, you should also picture Christ, your good shepherd, risen from the dead, perfectly healed and alive again on Easter Sunday. Healed, though he kept those marks of his crucifixion, the nail prints in his hands and the spear print in his side, as he showed them to Thomas, and you heard about it in last week's gospel. Those are the scars of the shepherd from his battle with the wolf. And even as he wants you always to remember his resurrection from the dead, so he wants you always to remember his crucifixion, so that you never look at sin lightly or take for granted the price that was willingly paid for your redemption, the holy, precious blood of your shepherd. Jesus' life on earth and his innocent death and his glorious resurrection from the dead are his great shepherding acts of the past. But he isn't done shepherding his sheep. He has more shepherding to do. As you know, it was never Jesus' plan to stay on earth in visible form and to shepherd his flock from Jerusalem or from any other place on earth. Imagine how sad that would be if he had done it that way. A shepherd who lived on the opposite side of the world from you, who had only so much time to spend with each one of his sheep as they come filing in one by one to talk to him. No, the Lord had a different plan for his New Testament church with a different form of shepherding in mind. Jesus says in our gospel, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." But that bringing that Jesus says he must do didn't happen, or at least was far from being finished during Jesus' life on earth. He's talking about the bringing that the good shepherd does through the shepherds whom he has been sending into the world since Easter Sunday, and whom he will continue to send until all the sheep are found who are to be found, until the whole flock is gathered into the one holy Catholic, that is, Christian and Apostolic Church. So it is Jesus who sends the shepherds, which is the meaning of the word pastor. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep." And as St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That means that every pastor of God's church is placed exactly where the good shepherd wants him, in every time and in every place, so that Christ might preach to men through the humble preaching of men, so that he might gather his sheep, speak to his sheep, minister to his sheep, forgive the sins of his sheep, and preserve them in his flock through that very same preaching and through the administration of his holy sacraments. So too it is Jesus who brings the sheep, who went looking for each and every one of you, who brought you into contact with his church at some time and in some place, into contact with his gospel, who brought you or will bring you to baptism and faith. I know my sheep, he says, and am known by my own. He knew you from before the foundations of the world were laid, and he knows you still. Even if no one else on earth truly knows you, he knows you, who you are, what you need, and what you've done, and what you will do. He also knows all who will believe in him as his Spirit calls them through the gospel, even if they don't know him yet. There is still time to know him. The invitation still goes out to everyone. And now, as St. Peter wrote in today's epistle, the Lord calls you to do good to others and for others, just as your good shepherd did, and to be willing to suffer for doing good, just as your good shepherd was. That means living as the light and the salt of the earth. It means taking this Christian faith seriously, living a life that stands out in the world, that stands out in goodness and kindness and generosity, that shines with truthfulness in all things, that honors God's word above all things. You will suffer in this world if you live like that. But then you'll just be walking in the footsteps of your good shepherd, following behind him wherever he goes, first to shame and then to glory. May the voice of the good shepherd ring in your ears today and every day. You know him, now follow him. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside quiet waters. He will restore your soul. He will be with you as you walk even through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will follow you with his goodness and with his mercy all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.